Morning, y'all. How you doing? It's a blessing to be here. I am excited. Have you ever been on a special trip? And my family has been going to Colorado quite a bit lately. We have a family hunting trip. And I know you have to put in for the lottery to go hunting. Jim knows all about this. I go with Jim's dad, Leroy Shaw. And so we put in for the lottery sometime in February or March. So this is a great anticipation, you know, a lot of anticipation. And then it gets closer and you're getting all your gear ready. But the week before, where's Jim at? Jim, raise your hand. I see Corey. Oh, where's he at? Oh, there he is. Okay. But there's great anticipation, isn't there? And so the week comes, but the night before, you know, last trip, I think I stayed up till 11 getting things ready. And at 3 o'clock, I was up. You know, I was just, as my brother says, jerking all over with excitement. I was just ready to go. And that's what I kind of am here, you know. I am very excited to be here. I'm very excited to be here. It's a blessing. This church has been a blessing throughout the years, Brother Joe. I remember 30 years ago, you were a blessing to me. Kenny's been around forever, too. And these are old friends and good friends, and Myra goes too far back with us. She could tell you stories, and I don't want her to even start. She'll mess us up. But Mike and Myra are a blessing to you, and I hope you realize what you have in your pastors here. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you, and I pray that you would help us to bring good news this week. And Father God, I pray that you would allow us to come into your presence at this time and just be a blessing to these people, that your word would go forth. Father, I am nothing from nowhere, nobody from nowhere, but Father, I pray that you would put your words in my mouth as you did them in Jesus' mouth. And Father, let your word go forth from this place. And I pray that you would pour out your spirit on all of us in these times and at this place and this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I put it in white and black and so you can see it. And I'm going with that. And this morning, I've got good news of a great God. I think we should start out, at least I want to start out. I'm on this God kick. I've got a new Bible Works 8 study program. If you've seen the articles in the Herald, I'm on a little kick here. I've been studying the Hebrew, the Yahweh, the name of God. I've gotten into it, and so 6,828 times your Father in heaven is mentioned by name in the Bible. Jehovah's a good translation, but if you notice the letters J-H-V-H, those are the actual Hebrew words. Jehovah may not be exactly a right translation. Yahweh may be closer. But I want to talk about the good news of a great God. So as we look at this today, this is the most important doctrine of the Bible, isn't it? Deuteronomy 6:4. I'm kind of jumping ahead. Just listen to me for a while. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. This is the most important. When the scribe went to Jesus and said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Have you done the commandments? Yeah. Well, what are the greatest commandments? Well, the greatest of these, Mark 12:29. Hear, Jesus speaking, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You should love him with all your heart, soul, and mind, strength. So I want to talk about your Father in heaven today. We always hear bad news. You know, bad news comes up so quick, doesn't it? I think newspapers and TV shows sell ads based on bad news, don't they? You know, you look at the economy, you look at the things that are going on, you know, whether the Braves are winning, whether Clemson is winning, or what the season is going to look like. Sometimes our feelings go up and down based on baseball teams. When Mark McGwire was shown to be on steroids, my whole world just crushed. I know Missouri bar too. You know, it was tough. And then all these people, Barry Bonds, and then it's still coming out. The bad news is after, the economy. You know, The loss of jobs. That's bad. You know, that's tough, Harry. It's tough out there in the job market. It's tough when you go out and look for a job and you try to place yourself in this. So the bad news is all there. You know, you think about I heard something about your governor. I don't want to go there, but whether it's your governor or our governor is on the TV. You know, your mayor or our mayor is always something bad, or some other sports figure has done something stupid, got arrested with a gun and put in jail. And some people, the people that we look up to, but I am here to tell you, I've got good news of a great God for you. God will never let you down. Kenny had in his class this morning, we had a good discussion about, you know, we were talking about the grace of God. Is God fair? But let me tell you, God is good. Mulungu wa bueno. Where is Caitlin? Caitlin, you up top, down below, helping the kids out? Not here. In Africa, we started a saying, Mulungu wa bueno. God is good. And the response to that is Ntawa Zonse, all the time. God is good, all the time. And all the time, God is good. I am here to tell you about the good news of a great God. You know, the Bible talks about good news many times. The Greek word for that is euangelion. Euangelion, good message. The prefix in the Greek is eu, E-U. We use that word all the time. We use that word all the time. We're coming to celebrate Eucharist or the Lord's Supper. What does that mean? Good grace. When you celebrate communion, you recognize the good grace of God, don't you? Yes. When you go to a funeral, could someone stand up and give the eulogy for that person? What does that mean? You, logos, you, the good word. Somebody give a good word about this. So we use it all the time. So evangelical even, euangelion, it means good news. When Jesus stands up in his public preaching, Mark 1, 14, 15, the first thing out of his mouth is repent. And believe the good news, the gospel, the euangelion of the kingdom of God. Repent. The kingdom is near. Believe the good news. So we've got good news in God. And where I want to go is to tell you, I looked it up on my program, Bible Works 8. There are 7 verses that say, Ki Tov Yahweh. Tov is a Hebrew word for good, as when you say mazel tov to someone, luck good, good luck. Tov occurs 7 times in Genesis 1. God created this, it's good, that good, good. Tov, 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 tov. And the last verse, verse 31, Tov Meod, it's very good. God saw all that he's made, and it's very good. There are 7 perfect verses in this, Corey. Aaron, I'll talk to the people directly. 7 perfect verses in the Bible. Psalm 34, 8. I should turn to these so I can keep up with Meyer, because I don't have a, I don't have them in front of me. Are we there, Meyer? I'll look around. Okay. 7 perfect verses. 7 perfect verses where it says, the Lord, Yahweh, your God is good. Now we can discuss his fairness and grace and whether he's doing right and why is he leaving us alone seemingly right now to let us go through our mess, and we'll get to that in a minute. Why is God just allowing these bad things happen to good people and things to go on? But let me tell you, the bottom line, according to the Bible, is God is good. Would you say that with me? God is good. Again, God is good. Now, you may not feel it at times, you may not see it at times, you may be going through the Job process at times, but let me tell you, God is good. I will exalt the Lord at all times, his praises will be on my lips, but verse 8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good, Chris. Taste and see. Taste and see. You experience it. In all of my stupidity, in all of my ignorance, in all of my quest for knowledge, I need to know and I need to feel that God is good. And folks, I'm here to tell you, he is. Even when you are nothing, nobody, in the deepest, darkest sin, God is good, Brother Joe. That's wonderful to think about. Psalm 104 and 5. There are 7 of these verses that says the Lord is good. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His love endures forever. The main aspect or attribute of God, according to Dr. Alva Huff and Dr. David Allen Hubbard at Fuller Theological Seminary, is his love. The Hebrew word for that is hesed. It's a covenant love. He'll grab you and won't turn you loose. He will not let you go. He loves you. And that's part of his attributes. We'll get to that later. Psalm 135:5, praise the Lord, praise the name of the Lord, praise him, you servants. But verse 5, jump down to the bottom verse. I know that the Lord is great. I'm sorry, verse 3. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praise to his name, for that is pleasant. I know that the Lord is great. You know, we've got great news of a great God. This is our God. This is the most important doctrine on the face of the earth. We can argue about, we had a major discussion. Where was it? We were talking about prophecy. Oh, we were somewhere just recently. And we were talking about prophecy, and we got so embroiled. It was just last week. Where are we? Ohio, yeah. A priest hit the 150th anniversary of the Brush Creek Church, and we got so involved in that. Well, let me tell you, that's a good doctrine to look at, but the most important doctrine is of God, who he is and what he's doing and what his attributes are. And this verse says, I know that the Lord is great. Psalm 145, 8 through 11. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, rich in love. By the way, that's directly out of Exodus 34, 6 and 7, and we'll get to that. God is good. And the Lord is good to all. Now, sometimes it doesn't seem that way. But you know, when your mama gave you a whipping, remember when your mama whipped you for, you remember that thing you did? Remember? Come on, fess up. Your mama whipped you and she said, this hurts me more than it hurts you. Well, that was stretching it a little bit, but you know, when you did that thing and your mother and your father knew about it, it didn't seem like the thing that you endured was the right thing, but you know in the end it was. I got a couple pumpkin center stories. I'll tell you later about that, but you know, the Lord is good. Look at Jeremiah, Jeremiah 11, you know, 33:11. And first of all, think of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, 586 B.C. You know, Jerusalem's going down, folks. It's sinned enough. God's going to put a whipping on them. And they're going to be cast out to Babylon. God's going to take them out for 70 years. And here Jeremiah is saying, give thanks to the Lord Almighty, for the Lord is good. His love endures, for I will restore. When Jeremiah sees God in punishment, he says, yes, he's punishing me for now. But the Lord is good. He's going to make it work out. My mother died last year. She pierced her esophagus of all things. Corey works in a hospital, worked in that area, North Oaks, in Hammond, Louisiana. They couldn't figure it out. She just started going downhill and died from a pierced esophagus. My goodness, what's going on? You know, and I know it's tough, but in tough times, and you know, when I think about that, I think of Melody and Martha and Bob and Beth, and you know, during those tough times, you ask yourself, what's going on? But you must know that through it all, God is good and going to work it out. I assure you of that. Amen? I know that's tough to say in hard times, but look at Jeremiah. And going down to Lamentations 3, 22 and 26. Remember, they're burning Jerusalem. If you read Lamentations, and I don't want to scare the young people. Casey, you shouldn't read that. Don't let your friend Megan read it either. But you go into Lamentations, they're cannibalizing in the siege of Jerusalem, folks. It's not good what they're doing. They're cannibalizing. One of the saddest verses in there is where, well, I won't go to it. It's so sad. But this is a good verse. You know, even in Lamentations, it's where the mothers are, they're cannibalizing in the siege of Jerusalem. And it was prophesied. God said, you know, you turn away from me. You know, Deuteronomy 28 says, if you obey me, you'll be the head, not the tail. You'll be above, not below. You'll be the lender, not the borrower. Well, when you turn away from me, you're going to be the tail, not the head. You're going to be the borrow, you're going to be below. And so it was a bad time. But look at what this says in Lamentations 3:25. The Lord is good to those who hope in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. As we say in Pumpkin Center, Lord have mercy. In the hard times. Nahum. And you know, Nahum had been conquered. Nahum was a prophet to the northern kingdom Israel. 722, they go down by the nation of Assyria. I think that's right, Brother Alva. They go down in 722. So Nahum's ticked at the city of Nineveh. Nahum says, the Lord is slow to anger and great in power. By the way, you know, so Nahum starts out with the good stuff. The Lord's patient, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger about it. But then he gets to the judgment. Yet he won't leave the guilty unpunished. You know, vengeance is mine. I will repay. Somebody done you something wrong? As we discuss in the class, Jesus suffered. Do you think you're any better than Jesus? No. But it says in verse 7, the Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. And he cares for those who trust him. And it's in the good times and the bad times. Amen? I know you had some bad times here, folks. I know. I don't understand it. I don't have a clue what's going on. But you've had some good times, too. You know, to see these young people up on the stage participating from Bible school, involved. These are good times. These are good times. Show my picture there. Okay, Myra. I got some good times on the left, and I'll tell you about the bad times. I took this picture of Jake. This is my Jake, Jacob's father, back when he was young. And when the times were hard in Pumpkin Center, my father always had about an acre garden. Always. Always had a garden. And there are Jeremy and Jennifer, my children, in the middle of the tomatoes. Look at all the tomatoes and all the beans and all the corn in the background. You know, but, you know, when the good times are there, God is good. And I put my picture of my grandpa, Henry Martin, Myra, up there, so you'll know his story. My ancestor came from Alsace-Lorraine, France, went to New Orleans, pulled a boat, kind of a barge up the river, got to Springfield, sold his barge, and then got a pole boat and pushed it up the Natalbany River and stopped there. And so that's why we have all these Henry Martins coming along. But this guy on the right went through the Depression. Some of you heard of that. Some of you went through it. You know, there are hard times. People selling pencils or apples on the street. But I am here to tell you that in all of this, God is good. Just reminder, Exodus 34, 6 and 7, the eight attributes. God is good. If you look at, he's compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding love, abounding in truth, maintaining love, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, sin, yet does not leave the guilty unpunished. Remember that, Drew? Old Testament survey. God is good. Seven things. He's, you know, just fall on your knees before them. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear, your daddy in heaven says. I will hear. Your father in heaven is good. You know, all of these. But he does have a bottom line. You know, when you're counting the bottom line. You get in God's face, he does not leave the guilty unpunished. There is a Gehenna. There is a place of judgment. But look at what God is good. God loves you. He wants to draw close to you. He cares for you. He has compassion. He shows grace to you. He loves you. He's patient with you. You know, God wants you to come to him. This is God, not a God to mess with. Deuteronomy 6:4, just look at that again. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord's one. In Hebrew, Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And what is our response to that? To love the Lord, dear God, with all your heart, soul, and strength. And and impress them on the children. And Jesus said the same thing. Mark 12:29, there's an article coming out in the Herald. Jesus upholds the Shema. Now, this is the great teaching of the Church of God. This is why I'm getting kind of fanatical on this issue, this theological issue. There are people writing books that are getting fanatical on this. Drew's seen me at fanatical stages, but playing football or baseball or something. I'm getting fanatical religiously, Drew. Eric Chang, who's written a book called The One True God, The Only True God. People are coming to understand. And he says, if people would have this information that we have about the one true God, maybe we could reach more Jews and Muslims with the one true God. And we need to do that. We need to impress it on the kids. By the way, there's another book out by SurveyedusTheEvangelical.com. He's not giving his name, but it's called, of all things, The Restitution of Jesus Christ in His True Identity. Anybody seen that on the web? Look up SurveyedusTheEvangelical.com. Go to the next slide. Impress this. Here we have young people on the front row. We have my offspring on the front row, from Jeremy to Jake. We have. These are important things to do. And Deuteronomy 6:7 says, impress them on your children. So that's why I'm trying to impress it to old people. I'm impressing it to middle-aged people. I want to impress everyone about God. We have good news about a great God, folks. Hallelujah. And you look at this. 6,828 times Yahweh uses His name. Even the generic term God only occurs 3,000 times. God is very personal. That's the point. That's an alliteration, isn't it? God is very personal, and that's the good point. He cares for you. He loves you. He wants you in His kingdom. Joseph, He wants us in His kingdom, brother. Joseph means the Lord adds, Yahweh adds. Go to Genesis. 6,007 times. I'm going to use my phone in a minute, so don't worry, Kathy, or whoever that was. I got it right here. I'm going to show you my ringtone in a minute. So, I know we're crunched for time, but 199 times in the Bible it says, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Jeremiah 3 cries out to the people in the times of distress. I thought you would have called me Father, but you went off running around after all these other gods. But 70 times he says, you know, talking about prophecy, days of Elijah, days of Ezekiel. They will know that I am the Lord. They will know that I am Yahweh. They will understand. I think people that are really seeking biblical truth are, it is not our truth, it's the Bible truth. They are coming to understand the one true God. 170 times Jesus spoke of His daddy. 40 times. Listen to this. 40 times Jesus says, my Father, my Father. It only occurs 44 times in the whole New Testament. And 40 times it's on the lips of Jesus. This is the most important subject to Jesus. This should be the most important subject to the church of God. This should be the most important subject. Your Lord loves you. Hey, I knew the man who wrote the song for Neil Diamond's #1 September Morn album. The good Lord loves you. I'm singing this song for your prison, for your men in your prisons and jails, for all of the junkers and juicers and good men that failed. The good Lord loves you. The good Lord loves you. Loves you so. I didn't have that in my notes, but there it is. Habakkuk 3. My heart pounded, my lips quavered, the sound of decay crept in, yet I'll wait patiently. Verse 17, though the fig tree doesn't bud, by the way, the figs are really looking good, Dave. We got to go pick them. Though the fig tree does not bud, though, and there are no grapes in the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, there are though no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Lord have mercy. Your daddy loves you. Your daddy wants you to be with him forever. John 20:17, Jesus said, go to my brothers, I'm returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. It doesn't get any clearer than that. James 1:17-18 says, every good and perfect gift comes down from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Folks, people are coming to understand who their God is. Even if only small, you can have a part in that. This church stands for one of the greatest biblical truths that has ever been. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And the Lord is good. Says it many times. He says, He is good, God is good. But seven perfect verses says, He is good. You know, I'm playing with this Yahweh thing, and I know John's probably getting upset at me. I'm sending emails out to pastors. I send it out to the young people. I think I sent one to Jake and Josh Fletcher. And so, check out the Yahweh songs. I was listening. I wouldn't let my daughter Jennifer go to a U2 concert about Phil. I didn't know who they were. Who are these people? These British, whatever they are, you know? And then I got on YouTube. Here is U2, old Bono singing Yahweh, the Chicago Live version. That's the one. It's so phenomenal. It is, John. Now, come on, fess up. It's good. They're singing about the one. Did I send it to you, Aaron? Yes, I did. I want the young people to know. I need to send it to my Jake and the other Jake. This is the most important teaching of the Bible. You know, Chris Tomlin's Exalted. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I put up Michael W. Smith. Go ahead. Because I'm in the Africa mode, haven't got back. This is Michael W. Smith with Africans. When I think of you, I see you dancing. And it goes into the chorus. Yahweh, there is no one like you, Lord. Yahweh. Okay. This is for Kathy, whose phone went off a while ago. You didn't think I knew how to run this thing, did you? God is good. I don't think we understand how good God is. You know, on the Africa trip, let me finish. I know we're close on time, but let me tell a little story about Africa. We bought the truck. This is about Guthrie Grove. We bought the truck, 10,000 plus insurance. So we're driving along, and I'm the only male in the front of this truck, folks. It gets a little tense. I do get my feelings hurt, Kenny, even though I'm a tough old guy. I do get my feelings hurt, and but here's the deal. As soon as I got in that truck, I have 40-some years. No, I better back up. 30-some years of driving experience. My dad gave me an old 1953 Chevy way back, and he says, it won't run anymore. You can barely start it. It'll put. But go ahead and do whatever you want. So at 14 years old, I was driving. So I know about cars. You know, my brother had a 1964 Fairlane sports coupe with a 289 V8, 4-barrel carburetor, and a 4-speed. We could take that transmission out and rebuild it in 3 hours. You put Vaseline on the roller bearings and put a rubber band on them and pop it back together. And I know about cars, you know. So as soon as I got in that sucker, a Mitsubishi diesel 4-cylinder, 5-speed. By the way, it's on the left hand. It's kind of tricky. It's on the left hand over here. So as soon as I got in, after about a day, I knew what the motor would do. It's got about I'm thinking 180 to 190 horsepower. And so a lot of times in Africa, you'd be going up a hill and there's a tractor or a log truck or something, and they're going 10 miles an hour. So I drop her down in second and I come around them, Kenny, going up a hill on a curve. Because I know from 38 years of driving experience, I can make it around it. And I hear from the back, there's a curve. I'm like, And then one time I says, well, why don't you just shoot me? Now, here's a line you got to remember. Caitlin says, me first. Now, that ain't right, Glennis. But think about God. I know just a little bit about vehicles, and so I was kind of upset that my girls didn't trust me a little more, but God knit you in your mother's womb. He knows the DNA, life, book. He knows who you are. He knows the hair on your head or the lack of it thereof. First thing I did, I'm trying to cover my bald spot and look good for you. I even wore a tie today, Mike. Did you see that? But your God knows you. Your Father in heaven knows you. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He knows you. And I am here to tell you that he cares for you and loves you and that he is good. Even in bad times, but God is caring for you. Now, he may have backed off and sometimes let your, my daddy, when I was doing something stupid, he says, okay, go ahead. Did your father ever do that? And then that's when, I blew up the Volkswagen motor and, okay, you can walk now. go ahead. So our Father in heaven does love us. He is good. And this is, folks, the greatest teaching of the Bible. That the Lord God, who created you, loves you and cares for you. Amen?